Welcome back, everyone, to another Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno. Is with me, I'm super excited, friend of the show and personal friend, Laurent, how's it going?
I'm very fine. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for coming on. And we were just in big debates if I should try to go and mispronounce your name, just like everyone mispronounces my name. And then you told me you had a whole blog post on how to properly pronounce your name.
Which I did that a few years ago, yeah.
Which I should do, because I'm James Gaetano Montemagno, which is super long and crazy. And that's just the American version of it. It's sure. Not the actually Italian version of it. So we're here, the MVP song was going on. We have a lot of MVPs actually from Italy. And
yeah. They're
telling, oh, where's your family from? And all this stuff. So I've followed you for years.
Actually, likewise.
I started in WPF world, then in Windows Phone world.
Yeah.
I found your Twitter. I was following you. I remember the first time we ever tweeted back and forth, and we met years ago in person. I think it
Indeed. Built,
maybe even before that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't remember, but it was a long time ago for sure. Yeah.
And now we're always running into each other at conferences
yep. And
summits, and now here in Channel 9.
Exactly.
So some people may not know you, so maybe
sure. Give
a one-over of who the man is. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been coding for more than 20 years now, which is making my head spin when I think about it. I started with doing a lot of stuff, but really low-level stuff. I did I touched a little bit everything, like C, C++, and Java, a lot of Java. And then when .NET came out, I kind of fell into it, but initially more for web stuff,
sure.
ASP.NET 1.0.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been there.
Where it all started.
Oh, good, yes. Yeah. In 2001 or like that. And well, basically when I went to Mix in 2006 and I saw WPF, I fell in love. And mostly it was a whole designer-developer story, which really attracted me. I was working at Siemens at the time, and we were really kind of struggling to capture the desire of the designers to have really good UX,
yeah. Right?
And WPF gave me all that, and Blend especially, and
the blendability of it all.
Oh, good, yes. I'm not sure who exactly coined that term,
but I swear.
Well, I'm not sure if it's me, but I might have been in the room when that term has been coined. And I was definitely in the room when we coined the term integrator. Yeah, I remember that very well with my good friend Robbie Ingebretson, and yeah. So anyway, long story short, basically I started working for a company called Identity Mine, based in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I work from home in Zurich, Switzerland, doing a lot of everything XAML. So after WPF came Silverlight, which I also fell in love with.
I wrote
a couple of books on that. Later the whole shebang until Windows 10 Universal, which is now. And I have to say when was that? Oh yeah, by the way, Identity Mine has been acquired by another company, so now you'll see the name Valorem in places. It's just transitional, but we don't change the structure, we don't
sure. Change
the location, just to be clear.
That's great.
About 4 years ago, I started looking into Xamarin.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, well, that thing is really messy, I'm not going to use it much. For another year.
Your iOS, Android, it's not going to take off at all.
Oh, good. I remember when we still had to do the binding,
yeah. The
outlet binding in Xcode, and I said, no, I don't do that. I won't.
I don't want to open that.
No, let's not open that box.
Yeah.
However, a year later, I saw that, oh, wow, okay, now you really made so much progress, and that's when we started to talk more, and also mm-hmm. Talking to Miguel and Nat and all those good people. And I have this MVV on my toolkit. We'll talk about it a little bit more later. But basically, it's a 7 years old toolkit already.
Mm-hmm. It's a little toolkit that hundreds of thousands of people have used.
Actually, I have. I'm probably going to be at 2 million sometime in January or February, something
yeah,
like that. Downloads, which
yeah. Doesn't
mean people, but downloads,
downloads
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so and that was originally really a XAML framework.
Mm-hmm.
So just for WPF originally. And really, the inception started very simply. I wanted to blog about WPF. That's actually through blogging about WPF, I became an MVP 10 years ago.
Gotcha,
so that's
yeah. Really
what got me started, I would say. I was already active in the community before, but really WPF kind of focused my efforts on really that technology. And I was tired of having to repeat the same samples
sure. Over
and over again. And I thought, I'm going to do a toolkit or something, right?
Yeah.
And then people tried it out and said, well, you should publish it to use because it's cool, and that's how it started, really. So version 1 was in 2009, And I started thinking, you know, I was talking a bit to people, and people were using MVVM Cross, and MVVM Cross is actually a fork of MVVM Lite originally. Yeah. But then after that, he added really a lot of stuff, and Stuart Lodge, our good friend, right? Mm-hmm. Very nice guy. Started talking to him, and I think his philosophy is a little bit different from MVVM Lite. It's more of a, his framework is a little bit more opinionated, while MVVM Lite has always been very light, non-prescriptive. Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, use what you like.
Yeah, I always thought when I use it, so I use it in WinPhone days and Windows 8 days.
Sure.
And the idea was that you can use some of it.
Yeah.
Other parts are replaceable.
Totally.
So you have some defaults in place, but you don't have to use the the built-in, you know, anything, everything's interface-based. You
Correct.
Can override anything,
yep.
which I thought was nice. And mm-hmm. I think actually that, I mean, I fell in love with MVVM in general. And then when I went to Windows Phone and I found MVVM Lite, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this just simplifies navigation. It mm-hmm. simplifies, like, you know, my view models, like trying to get them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with the toolkit mm-hmm. in general. And then it was exciting when other platforms started to come from, I guess,
No, it was, it's a cool time. And I have to say my numbers, my download numbers, which is the only metrics I have, I don't really, I mean, I don't have any instrumentation in the toolkit. But basically the numbers starting taking off really when I went to, first of all, to Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good indication that this toolkit is light, it's good for applications which are nimble and maybe, I mean, we use it on large WPF applications as well, but that, you know, some applications you, back then they were using Prism because it was like big and there, right?
Yeah.
And the new Prism, by the way, is definitely different, right?
Yeah.
But in the days of WPF, Prism was kind of this huge thing, right? And so I really wanted to go against that, and not competitor or whatever, but more like giving an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw MVVM Cross and tried to use it a few times, I noticed that, well, it's definitely a good framework, but it doesn't really correspond to my way of doing things.
Yeah, you got to go all in. Like you're all, it's like with Xamarin Forms, like you're all in on Xamarin Forms, or you're all in on MVVM Cross, or you have this traditional approach. And often what a lot of developers ask me is like, well, you know, iOS and Android don't have data binding by default,
mm-hmm.
which is why kind of Xamarin Forms is cool. It brings all that stuff. But sometimes you still want to create a traditional native app with Xamarin. I mean, Xamarin Forms apps are native, but mm-hmm. with storyboards, with Android XML, because you want access to every single bit in the toolkits, you know?
Yep.
But that stuff doesn't exist. So what do you do? And I'm like, well, you know, there's a few frameworks out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could roll your own, right? We've all implemented iNotify property change. We've all registered for
Heaven Twill, yes.
Yes, multiple times. I go, that's mm-hmm. a good way to do it.
Yeah.
But I also point people to MVVM Lite, because I said it's a lightweight framework.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick a piece here, pick a piece there.
Correct.
So, yeah.
No, that's true. And so I thought to myself, well, maybe it makes sense to actually bring it to Xamarin.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, my very first question is, does MVVM even make sense on Xamarin at all?
Sure.
And of course, as a kind of newbie to that, I started asking myself, because both Android and iOS are very heavily MVC, right?
Yes, model view controller based, kind of very webby, ASP.NET-y, if you will, in a way.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. And very event based, which is already mm-hmm. great, because in, you know, like in iOS, for example, you don't really have events, you have to override, etc. But at least you guys brought, you know, event-based mm-hmm. Application model, I would say. But then, I started thinking about it and looking at samples. And eventually, I mean, quite fast, I have to say, I made my mind that, MVVM totally makes sense on Xamarin.
Yeah.
And then after that, if MVVM makes sense, well, what's missing, really, to have a good experience?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because really, literally porting the toolkit to Xamarin, it was a no-op. I just took it, I put it on because it's already a PCL. It supports your profile, and it just works. That's great. But of course, there was a piece missing, which is, okay, how do we actually do the data binding? And, and MVVM without data binding doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, you can do it by hand, but it's a lot of work. And who likes work?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, to simplify and be more productive, like, you can, you know, it's nice that we kind of abstract the UI from our business logic.
Yeah.
And even if out of the box I don't do anything, then it's just like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and abstract it so it's testable.
Correct.
It was my idea of testability of
yeah.
it. So you want to show off some NVVM Lite stuff?
Like, oh, sure. We can show something. Yeah. So I'll just show an application first, and then sure. we'll show the code a little bit.
Sure.
And so this application is like my, I would say my probably my most complete sample. It shows a little bit of everything.
Okay.
And it is available in on a number of platforms. In fact, this is the one. And yes, I didn't take my Mac, like we talked before. And so basically, this. This thing is available on Android, iOS, UWP, so Universal Windows, Windows Phone Silverlight, and WPF. And so that gives a good idea, and especially for people who comes from Windows, it gives a good point of entry because you know how we do binding in UWP, and then you can compare.
Yeah.
So that's a good sample. It's on GitHub.
If you're an existing Windows developer who've maybe already been using NVVM Lighters, like I understand these kinds. How do I now do it in iOS and Android? And like, this is a nice little.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what the application does, here is the Android version. So I can just refresh. Very simple. It just goes, hit the web. A web service running on my website. Loads a list of flowers, of all things. Because I used to have people, but people are tricky because, you know. You never know, privacy-wise.
Yeah,
flowers
sure.
never complain, so that's good. And so once you have your list of flowers, it is, it's actually a recycle view on Android.
Okay. Yeah.
So like this, you can see how to do bindings in recycle view. You can navigate to one, and here I have the description. I have some comments. You see that I gave a few presentations in Zurich and in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I was just there recently. And then after that, you can add a comment. Everything is command-based. So for example, the save comment button is disabled. But if I start typing, hello, Redmond, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Then the button enables. You can press. The asynchronous operation is also disabling the button.
Gotcha.
Now you have the thing here. Everything's good. And so super simple, master detail if you want, but it's showing what you need to do. And this application also runs as a UWP.
Okay.
And it looks very, very similar. So I can just set a startup, run it. And like this, basically it helps to compare, right?
Sure.
So what I can do is, while it's starting, I can just open the XAML. And for example, on the main page, this is where we have the list view. Here, this is XAML, okay? And so in the main page, we have a few things. We have the app bar button, which is going to refresh. You see that it is bound to a command, okay, with a one-way binding. Here is the application starting up. So just to show that it's the same feature, right?
Yeah.
Clicking, boom. And then if I go down there, I have the command that I just entered.
Oh, nice,
so
yeah.
Everybody's, you know, hitting the web. I have a few things like that. So, like I said, right, refresh button using refresh command here. We have another few things. We have the data context set here because that's how we do things in, you know, in XAML. And then after that, if we go down a little bit, we have here, for example, a binding to a property, last loaded formatted. We have a list view, which is bound to an observable collection, and there is an item template, like you would expect.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the big question is, okay, all this business logic is inside the data, which is a portable class library here.
Sure, yeah, okay. So all my models, view models, anything
totally.
Where the data binding is going.
Even the design time data, because
nice.
I like design time data.
Big fan
so,
of, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's so cool. So design time data is something for people who are maybe not familiar. Basically, if I open, for example, let's go to WPF, open the main window into the designer, if my studio wants to cooperate.
Yeah, basically, pushing the Surface Pro to the max.
It's a three, you know.
Yeah, Surface Pro 3.
I love it. And so I can just use the designer. And what it does is that it's going to show you the list, including data.
Yeah, which
so
is nice,
the
yeah.
design experience is fantastic. Now, of course, you can see that in WPF I did a few experiments already, so it looks a little bit weird. Oops, sorry about that. Like this flower is way too big. Well, no problem, we can fix it. We can say edit additional template. Boom, boom, okay. Can select the flower, can go to the properties, and I can make it smaller. And so, of course, if I make it, let's go to auto, for example, and now it looks good again,
nice.
Right? So this design time experience, we don't have it in Android or iOS because the designers are basically less capable, okay? But we can do really cool stuff with design time data. So that's all in the portable class library. Now, of course, we have the question of, okay, how do we do the bindings in Android and in iOS? Because Android and iOS don't have
data binding system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And here I'm talking about the classic, not the forms.
Yeah,
right?
I'm used to essentially creating an Android XML file. Now, it looks very much, I've always joked, I said it looks exactly like XAML, but it's completely different.
Yes.
Because it does have resource binding to resources, which is very different than actually data binding.
Absolutely.
So to me, it's like when you enter the comment in there, essentially there is a there's a property in the in my code behind.
Correct.
And when I type something, I want it to update the code behind. And when I update the code behind value, it should update my user interface automatically.
Yes.
And ideally, that's not a lot of code to write. You're like, oh, I'm going to register for some events. But it's
not
like
a
tedious,
lot of code,
right?
But it's very repetitive
code.
Yeah,
you do it over and over again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And really the idea of the framework, of the toolkit, if you wish, is really how can I avoid that, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so, yeah, so that would be the AXML. You see that I have a big recycler view in the middle. I have here a something saying last modified design text, because basically the binding is not applied yet, right? And if you see the source code, here, okay, it does look kind of like AXML because it's XML for sure, but it's not XAML.
It's very Android-y, Android.
Android, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, good experience here. So how do we do the binding? Well,
So in this instance, in the Android XML, so if I'm coming into to Xamarin development, so essentially my Android XML is untouched. It's the same. There's nothing MVVM Lite. I don't need to go modify. I don't need to go do anything. Okay, gotcha. That's perfect. So
absolutely,
it's the same.
So I try to stick. I always try to stick to the like it's almost a philosophy, if you wish. I always try to stick to the way that you would do things out of the box and add stuff.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Which makes life easier.
Yes.
Like for example, the navigation. We had a good discussion yesterday with a friend who likes to do view model based navigation. For example, I don't really do that because Android is bad with navigation anyway. But let's say iOS, for example, you navigate to a view, right? You don't really navigate, well, to a controller, but you don't navigate to a view model.
Yeah.
XAML, sorry, you navigate to a page. You don't navigate to the view model of the page. And so I try to follow this philosophy and hear exactly the same thing.
Okay.
I thought to myself, well, okay, first of all, I have, you know, those AXML. I do actually a cool trick. I don't know if I ever showed you that, but I do, you see here, I have this main activity.ui.cs, right?
Ooh, fancy. Did you create that yourself?
Yeah. So basically, I do a new file.
Oh, okay.
And then I have a small extension, Matt Stogenson, I see, wrote that. It's called file nesting. It's called nest, right?
Yeah.
And so what it allows you to do.
Which we also have in Xamarin Studio as well now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we have it, yeah.
Yeah, that's really useful. So you can just say, hey, this file should belong to that file.
Wow.
And so what I do, I say, well, it's a partial, okay?
Partial classes, the best feature of like .NET 2.0 or something that no one uses.
I think it's probably.
But it's awesome.
Probably we can thank Anders for that.
Yeah,
So the idea is to say, well, I'm going to declare, for example, the list, that's a recycler view, and like this, I have access to it. Which, by the way, one of the features of MVVM Lite, which is really cool, so you can install it in Visual Studio doing tool extensions and updates.
Yep, the hidden thing where everything lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you do that, you have snippets. So if I do MVVM, I have a bunch of things coming up. And the first one is called droid element. So you do boom. And after that, you say, well, that's a button. For example, I'm going to say the name is hello button. And basically what it does is that it's kind of doing the whole find view by ID.
Automatically.
Yeah, because that's also annoying to do in Android, right?
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
You have a snippet for that, which is cool. So once I have the element, like for example, here I have a list view, text view, sorry. Mm-hmm. Last loaded text, okay, it is on my XAML. Then in my activity, I can go and I can use it to do a data binding.
Ah, okay.
And so this is where the data binding thing happens.
The magic bits.
Exactly. MVVM Lite supports data binding in code at the moment. In the close future, I'm thinking of supporting also data binding in AXML, but right now it's all code. The code is very similar to iOS. So in iOS, you do bindings in the same way. And basically what you do, you call this method setBinding. Mm-hmm. It's an extension method on the activity, the fragment, the controller in iOS.
Sure.
You give the source, which is, in that case, my view models last loaded formatted. It's a property raising the property change event.
Gotcha.
So it's using the standard data binding mechanisms. And then you give the target, and the target in that case is this text view that we just saw, dot text property.
Dot text property.
Now the cool thing is that that can be totally nested. So okay. For example, I also support things like, let me see, select, well, this one doesn't have, but flowers dot count, for example.
Yeah, so you can right? go in it on the different properties.
Exactly. So I'm totally nested. And for example, I also do things where if you have a selected item in your recycler view, for example, you can say, well, vm.selectedItem.model.name.
Oh, nice.
And so every time the selected item changes, I detach and reattach the bindings, which is what you would expect. But a lot of binding frameworks don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's a nice feature.
Very nice.
Yeah. And so now you have your binding. Then after that, of course, the other thing which is interesting is in the view model, there is an observable collection.
Yep.
Also another great invention.
Yes.
Meaning that every time you add something to your collection, it raises an event. And so in XAML, it's just going to react. So let's see how it works here. If I go to the XAML, here I have a list box, for example, and here I have item source, flowers. Binding, flowers.
Which it's kind of like that you're adding an item source, essentially. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So in Android it's a little bit it's a little bit more complex. I'm using Recycler View, and again I try to stick to the way that Android does things.
Yeah.
So Recycler View needs an adapter.
Yep.
Now adapters are also very boring to write. I think we see a pattern here.
Yeah.
I don't like boring stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wrote what I call an observable recycler adapter.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yep. Which you can get by using this extension method, getRecyclerAdapter, which can be used on any iList.
Oh,
so if it's a simple iList, it's not going to react to events because there is no event.
Yeah.
If it's an observable collection, it does react to events.
Gotcha.
Okay. And so you do getRecyclerAdapter, you tell him where is the template for that, it's just a layout file, or you can also add the createViewHolder method if you want to do it in code.
Sure.
And then you go and do the bind view holder, which is a typical pattern of the recycler view, which, by the way, I learned in Xamarin University. Great resource. You'll give me the check later, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
XAMU is great, yeah.
Yeah, XAMU is great.
You learn all these little tips because even a lot of people might come in, they're like, oh, I'm going to use a list view.
Yeah.
But then you realize that really, even if you just use the default recycler view out of the box, it actually wraps like recycler, like list view, and it just optimizes all these patterns for you of the view holder approach.
Yeah.
So you're not creating cells over and over and
correct.
Over again. It's really nice.
Yeah. That is correct, exactly. Yeah. And so once you do that, you set your layout manager as you would in, you know, you set the adapter. It's a standard adapter, except that it's observable.
It's
and so it's going to react. And what you just need to do is do the bind view holder. Again, typical pattern in, and so I'm using a view holder, but in fact, I implemented a caching view holder, which is a little bit more friendly because you can do find cached view by ID.
Very
so
nice.
You don't need to cache it yourself. The thing takes care.
Super nice.
Exactly. And then after that, you assign. And at this level, I could also write data bindings.
Okay.
And so the caching view holder, I'll show a code sample in a second, but basically the caching view holder also supports attaching and detaching data bindings.
Gotcha.
So if you had, let's say your item has an observable property
that's going to update inside of the list, which is some people do, some people don't do, right? So if you have a list of stocks that are updating in real time, for instance,
you could do that. Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to probably take it a little bit easy because, you know, bindings are a little bit heavy on the performance, so those are pretty optimized. And the good thing with data binding is that it is a loose connection. And so if at some point I want to recycle, garbage collect my, you know, my view model, nothing is going to oppose that because everything is weak referenced. Everything is clean, so it's going to self destruct and everybody's happy.
Lovely.
Cool. So that's pretty much the code. And, you know, if I go super, super quickly in iOS,
And you got all that by installing a NuGet, I assume, right? MVVM.
Yeah, that is correct. So when you do the file new project experience, you have different ways to do things.
Okay.
First of all, let me just jump into the main view controller in iOS because I just want to show that the syntax is super. It's very, very similar. This is a binding, exactly the same syntax. Okay.
Yep.
Except that this last loaded text is basically a UI label.
Yep.
You can set a command like refreshing the button. Command is going to take care also of disabling the button during the asynchronous operation, etc.
Yep.
And then after that, since I'm using a table view source, well, I have an observable table view source instead of the observable recycler that we saw before. And you do the same thing. You bind. You have the reuse ID if you want, and you're pretty much set to go, right?
Yeah. Very minimal code, right? But instead of So now, whenever I click the button, I don't have to register and say, oh, actually call this command and create bloat inside my application.
Yeah. And so the bindings work also two-way. So you can do two-way. You can do a lot of really cool stuff on bindings. Like, for example, if I want to, I can do dot and then convert. Oh, I'm at the wrong location.
So this dot set command is essentially going to return set binding is going to return a binding.
It's written a binding, exactly. So here I can say convert source to target, for example. And so you're going to say, well, I have the value, and then I do value plus hello. And so that's a converter from the source to the target.
Oh, nice.
Same thing exists for the target to the source.
Very nice.
Now, of course, that example doesn't quite make sense, but if you think that you have maybe a Boolean to object, right? I also support default conversions like Boolean to string, Boolean to integer.
Lovely.
This is all by default.
Lovely.
What else can you do?
So you don't even need to do those value converters, essentially. You said you have those built in then.
Well, so the thing is that Xamarin doesn't really support iValue converter, right? And so you cannot really use the standard way of doing value converters like we do on Windows,
for those
who know that. But if you have the code, you can just use the code here. So you could call the method on the converter, for example. And then you're set to go. There are a few other things that you can do. You can have access to the target. You can specify the target null value and fallback value. So in case you have an error in the binding, in case, I don't know, the user didn't type anything, you can show a message saying, please enter your password, for example, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of cool stuff here. I'll let people discover it, when they explore the sample.
Absolutely.
And so, since we talked about the file new project, so again, right, if you install extensions and update, and then you go somewhere down there, I have MVVM Lite, standard installation. Then you can do file new project, and then you'll have templates. And so the templates, for example, in Android, I have MVVM Lite Android.
Somehow at the very beginning, interesting there.
There might be an API that I discovered by chance, which allows you to put your stuff at the beginning. There might be. There is also, of course, stuff for iPhone and, of course, Windows with WPF, Windows Phone 8, et cetera, et cetera.
Cool.
So that's one way to get started.
Yeah.
Now, the other way to get started is that you just create a new MVVM Lite, a new blank application, blank Android application. And then after that, you go Solution Explorer, right click, manage NuGet packages.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. And then if you go to Browse, MVVM Lite. In fact, it's already installed in this sample, obviously, but this is where my MVVM Lite stuff lives. There are two packages. One is called MVVM Lite. The other one is called MVVM Lite Libs.
Gotcha.
And by the way, this one just crashed the 500K downloads. Look
at
that. Anyhow, so the difference, maybe quickly to explain to people, MVVM Lite's libs is really where the components are living. That's the stuff you need to do the observable recycler adapter, like I showed before, etc. If you do MVVM Lite, what it's going to do is add a little bit of scaffolding around it. So there is a dependency between MVVM Lite package and MVVM Lite libs package. A little bit of scaffolding in addition, adding a main view model, adding a view model locator. And on certain platforms which support them, like XAML and also in others, I add a little bit of wiring just to get you started
a little bit faster.
Yes,
makes
correct.
Sense. Perfect.
And I would recommend people, if you are a newbie with MVVM Lite, I would do the file new project.
Okay.
So basically, install the extension, file new project, take the template, you have everything you need there. If you're somebody with a little bit more experience, you create your app, then suddenly as an afterthought, you say, this MVVM Lite is cool, let's do, right click, manage, NuGet package, and then you're good to go.
Very cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I want to show a few websites, if you allow me.
Yeah, absolutely, because with MVVM Lite, you just showed only the data binding part, but there's a lot more to it, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on that.
There is. That's
the nice thing is, like, if you just want to, if you're like, wow, like, that just blew my mind, I only want to just use that, because the rest of your app would be untouched, right?
That is correct.
Add it in and start removing chunks of code and just replace it with those data bindings.
Absolutely.
Which make your life easier.
So basically, if you want, and of course, this is a, Xamarin heavy show, right?
Yeah.
So I showed kind of the Xamarin stuff, but of course, if you go to see the data, the portable class library there, that's where you will see, the libs, right? The components of MVVM Lite. And so that's what people who do already WPF, SQLite in the days, or now Windows 10 with MVVM Lite, they know those components. And those live typically in this shared code.
Yeah.
And so if you go to view model, for example, then you will see some interesting stuff. Like, for example, this is a view model base. Mm-hmm. That's you know, something from MVVM Lite.
Yep.
We have an iNavigation service. So that's, again, something from MVVM Lite. We have relay commands, which mm-hmm. is basically something to simplify the usage of the iCommand interface,
yeah.
which is really a kind of a pain. what do we have? We have, this is a command.
That
we have the design mode.
Yeah, nice.
Design mode is pretty cool. It's going to auto-detect if you're running in Blend.
Oh, cool.
Again, in Android, Android Designer, iOS Designer, it doesn't work. But what you can do is force Ease in Design mode to true.
Oh, cool.
Run your app, and then it doesn't hit the web service. It's just going to use the design service.
Makes
and
sense.
Then you can do whatever you want.
That's nice.
You know,
I like
good
that.
Things to test special cases, like, hey, if I have 1 million flowers in my database,
yeah.
You know, is it still going to scroll up and down? Or if I have zero flowers, maybe you want to show something, you know, like nothing found or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So these kind of special cases, easy to test. We have the raise property change. We have the set method, which is going to also raise the property change in an elegant manner, etc. So that's basically the basic MVVM Lite stuff.
Cool.
People who are interested, self-promotion allowed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have a pro site course.
Absolutely.
Which is interesting. And by the way, all that, if I go to mvvmlite.net, here we go. That is the page where you will find all the documentation.
Beautiful.
There is here the page. So like I mentioned, Stack Overflow, there are a lot of doc, which is either on subscription basis, the pro site course, but there is also a lot of free documentation.
Yeah, and you've presented this all over the world for
many
really
times.
More in depth, yeah, and it evolved too.
Yes, I did indeed. Mm-hmm. And so here you can find some videos. I have all my MSDN articles. I wrote quite a lot in MSDN Magazine. So everything is explained. Everything is free.
Yeah.
If you want to have something even more in detail, you can subscribe to pro site and have the course on GitHub under L Bunion. Under El Bunion, I have all my samples. So every time I speak at the conference, you can find the samples here.
Beautiful.
Everything is here. There is also a page, and we'll put all that
the links there.
Exactly.
Yep.
Under galasov.ch/presentations. This is where you will find the page for the presentation. Video, if there is one. That's
very
the
cool.
Evolve one, by the way. The slides, of course, and then all the samples, everything you need.
Beautiful.
And finally, this is where the source code lives. So it's open source. It's under MIT license, part of the .NET Open Source Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Yep. I was the first public project, in fact, to enter that. So I'm really happy about that. And people ask me, why CodePlex? And my answer is, why not? Pretty much.
That's where it started, and that's where it's going to live. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just that Git doesn't support Mercurial, and I don't want to go into that today.
Gotcha.
But
okay.
I love Mercurial for my private project.
And it's your project, right? So do what you want.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people can easily contact me. I mean, if they don't want to go into the issue system here, don't worry about it. Send me a tweet, send me an email. Everything is public on, my email address. Everything is public there.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate to write. Send me a repro. Please send repros if you have a bug.
Maybe new features. If you find something, you know, Android's evolving, iOS is evolving.
Totally.
Evolve on it, work on it together.
Yeah, absolutely. And
cool.
If you have a GitHub repo, just send me the GitHub and you know, I can get it from there as well. No problem at all. Yeah.
And now, we showed a lot of the traditional Xamarin approach, which I think is really where MVVM Lite shines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people will ask, like, does it blend? Is there a blendability mode with Xamarin Forms at all? Or would you even say that that's something that could be added or should be added?
Oh, yeah, totally can. So, in fact, if you write your PCL, your data, you have your view model, you know, view model and your model and all that, Xamarin Forms supports the iNotify property change out of the box, right?
Yeah.
And so basically what it means is that MVVM Lite is 100% compatible with Xamarin Forms.
Yeah,
now, Xamarin Forms does have MVVM, like a kind of a super small MVVM framework, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you do.
We have commanding, there's data binding, there's.
Absolutely.
It follows the MVVM principle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so people ask me sometimes, well, should I use rather the Xamarin Forms built in stuff or should I use MVVM Lite? And my answer is always the same. If you already know MVVM Lite, it's kind of an easy decision. You don't want to learn something new, and it's going to work exactly in the same manner. So you do your binding in XAML, you bind to the last loaded property.
Yeah.
You have your command, you bind to the command, same thing. The other scenario that I could imagine, if you have an application which you want to have in Xamarin Forms, and then the model and the view model are also going to run on other platforms like Windows 10, WPF maybe, then I would say MVVM Lite has an advantage because it is absolutely cross-platform. It's already available.
And especially if you have a project that's already using MVVM Lite.
Correct.
Like I like to, I always like to do, even in Xamarin Forms, you'll see if you look at the Evolve app, I have a library that's just models and view models and services, and then another one that is just UI.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to take that to Mac or tvOS, like
yes,
I could technically, move it over.
Yep.
Because it's decoupled in that way, which is if you already have an app that's built with MVVM Lite, maybe it's still a WPF application or this. And I get that question all the time. Is like, oh, is how do I get a WPF application with Xamarin Forms? I'm like, well, if you architect it, you just build a little bit of UI and you're good to go.
That's correct. Yeah. And so those are the two scenarios, right?
Yeah.
If you have used MVVM Lite already, you like it, go for it. If you want to cross-port your application to other platforms, go for it. I have, in fact, the Flower sample that I showed. Mm-hmm. I have also an implementation, same GitHub implementation here with Xamarin Forms. It works exactly in the same manner.
Compare and contrast.
Super simple. I didn't use the latest stuff that you added because basically the focus here is not on the UI stuff. It's more on really how do you do the bindings, etc.
Yeah.
But basically you see the application works exactly in the same manner. And in fact, if I go down here, you can see that it also have the command that we just entered.
Very cool.
And so exactly the same feature available for Xamarin Forms as well.
Awesome.
Yep.
This has been great. I love it because this is always changing and there's a lot of new stuff that's happened even since the last time I experimented with it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And thanks, everyone, for joining us. And always, I'm James Montemagno, and this has been The Xamarin Show.